This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 26, 2014. The 19th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I love you, O Lord. May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I love thee, O Lord. It's the words from the psalm this morning, for those of you who take notes. That is Psalm number 18. 17, for those of you these older versions of the Bible. There's, over the past few weeks, if you've been attentive to things that are goings on in the church, there's been all kind of discussions here and there. Most of, I know a bunch of you follow those kind of things. And, you know, you come here frequently and you hear about doctrinal this and dogma that and, you know, liturgy this, and I will be the first to admit that I'm one who will talk. So you probably get sick of hearing me on occasion about things like that. The thing that we have to understand, though, is there is a foundation for understanding all those things. And that is, simply put, and first and foremost, that we love God. That we love God in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not serve a philosophy. You hear about Zen philosophy and Buddhist philosophy and Eastern philosophy. You do not love philosophies. They are just that. They are philosophies. We love a person. God is living. God is a person. Our faith is not an abstraction. It is not a hypothetical. It's something that you have to live for real. And you have to manifest a love for God to do the things correctly. In these debates that have been going on in the church for the past few weeks, it's interesting, for you get this big argument. Foundationally, argument is, well, we have rules, but the practice could be a little bit different. Ridiculous. The laws we have in society. Why don't you drive any way you want out on the street? Well, some may. But why are you not drive any way you want to when you leave here? Because there are laws, and guess what? There are folks out there who enforce them. All right? What would happen if, yeah, we have all these traffic laws, and we want to keep them on the books, but people are going to do what they're going to do, so just let them drive any way they want. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous premise. How much more so in things of the faith? Because we get our civil laws because of society. We have laws in the church because Almighty God has given them to us. We have a deposit of faith, and that deposit of faith needs to be adhered to. But there's a reason that it needs to be here too. It's not because we follow rules because they're rules, because the one who gave them, Almighty God Himself. Because we love Him. That's why. That psalm was written by King David at the end of his life. This guy's dying. And he says, I love you, O Lord. Good place to be, spiritually, when you're dying. Okay? Why? How can you be like that? Because David has kept a tally of all the good things that God had did for him throughout his life. You know, if you know the Old Testament, you know David's life. He was king. He had everything going for him in that respect. He lost an infant. He had to deal with his own sin, much greater than most of us have to deal with, murder and adultery. Had a son who rebelled against him. I mean, rebelled against, not like rebellious, my kid won't do what I say, or he stomped out of the house. Rebellion like he formed an army and tried to kill his dad. That kind of rebellion. He had those kind of things going on within his life. But with all that going on, he still, I love you, Lord. He loved him because he knew what he had done for him. All the blessings he got. And let's start this out that pious folk constantly keep in mind what the Lord has done for them. We in our humanity have this tendency to focus on bad times. You know, past, present, maybe future. I don't worry about all kind of things. Okay? The bottom line on the whole deal is that we need to understand that we are to appreciate what good things got. Well, you know, my life's been pretty rough. Really? Guess what? You're living it. You're taking in air. You're getting up in the morning. Hopefully you're walking around with no additional hardware. You know, little things like that are blessings. Okay? We ought to love God for what He does. How can you not love Him for all the favors that He's given you? And really, if you step back and you think about it, you know, put it in a human perspective. You know, do we not love when the kids come over or the grandkids come over? When you haven't seen somebody in a long time, you want to, I can't wait till they get here. I can't wait to get till we get, are we there yet? Are we there yet? We love that kind of stuff. We want to see some. Are you like that when you come in here? Is there a desire to be here? I mean, we all have bad days. I'm not saying that. We all have bad days, but regularly, generally speaking, you ought to look forward to Sunday morning. You ought to look forward to the encounter that you make with Jesus Christ objectively in the Eucharist, receiving His body, blood, soul, and divinity within yourself. How? I'm going to be with God, not spiritually, really, objectively, truly. Would you appreciate that you're going to be with God? Okay? How could you not love Him for all the good things He's done for you? The Eucharist, for instance, bringing you into the church. Yeah? The vast majority of people walking around out there, that's nothing for them. You get to see God. You get to see God and take Him into yourself. How can you not love Him for all He does? You got to love Him for who He is. David goes through a list. That psalm's only 3 verses today. 3 verses we get from that psalm. And he lists 7 things that God is. He is my rock, my deliverer, my shield, my horn of salvation, my stronghold, my fortress. He goes through this litany of who God is. That's another reason why we should love Him. It sounds very psalmist. You know, all these rock things and all this. Put it in context. He is indeed our rock. He is a firm place on which we can stand when things in this life go awry. You know, everything in this life changes. People even change. People change more than anything. People change. Bad things happen to us. People are in bad situations, prolonged, pointed. It really doesn't make any difference. You have to understand that you can go somewhere to someone who doesn't change. Almighty God. Theological term, immutable. He doesn't change. It's kind of interesting to think the same God that hovered over the baptismal font when you were baptized is the same God to whom you will pray or others will pray for you when you're taking in your last breaths. He has not changed one iota. He has not gotten older. He's not gotten wiser. He has not, you know, got attitude because all the things you... He is just who He is. That is a rock. That is why we do what we do. You always want that. How many people... Christianity is a crutch for... Hey, it sure is. It's much more than that. The crutch just holds you up a little bit of a support. God is truly our rock upon which we say. He is truly our deliverer. I know Jesus saved me from my sins. He delivers you every single day. Every single day. Bad things going on, guess what? It can change. It will change. Definitely change. How you react to it is something completely different. Temporal things. He saves us every single day. He delivers us. He and the guardian angels that He has put over us to give charge of us, that we not dash our foot against the shoulder. He is our shield. Shield. You know, use these military analogies. He is truly our shield. He keeps things from happening to you. The fiery darts of Satan, that sounds, again, real churchy. Guess what? Those are temptations. We can be tempted in many, many ways during life. Some people do, you know, temptations, oh, it's for this, or that's for that. No, temptations can be all kind of things. We're tempted to take this action. We're tempted to do this. We entertain this thought. If you are loving God, if you engage with Him, you are not tempted near as much, and He will deflect a lot of those temptations. He is the horn of our salvation, not the horn like an instrument, the horn like that's on a bull. It is an aggressive strength for defense and offense. What do you mean offense? Sharing your faith with others. You love Christ, you don't hesitate to show what you are. You don't hesitate to show who you are. I never talk about things because, you know, it's kind of awkward. Then the love is questionable. The love is questionable. He is our stronghold. He is a place of refuge. He is a place where we can go when things are, and they have, again, to a lesser or greater extent, we all have them all the time. Every now and then in life, you really get floored. It's really cool to have a place to go where you know nothing's changed. That's sort of like our liturgy. Yeah, it's truly unfortunate in our day and age, you really don't know what you're going to hear. You go into a lot of parishes, you don't know what you're going to see. How is it this day? Is it shorter? Is it longer? Is this prayer that prayer? This Eucharistic prayer, that Eucharistic prayer? One of the reasons that historically and traditionally that the Mass has been the way it is, it's the same every single time you come in, because the Mass is our encounter with God. And God is immutable. He doesn't change. So consequently, when you come in and you have an encounter with Him, it ought not change. That's boring. Well, if you consider an unchangeable God boring, okay, we got to talk. All right? That's why it is what it is. It gives you that taste. There's always somewhere where everything is the same. They could be the best person in the world. They could treat you just phenomenally your whole life. And guess what? They get old and they die. When that person dies, the rug's pulled out from under me. Where can you go? Where can you go somewhere where nothing's changed? You can sit in here. You can be with Him because He doesn't change. He is our stronghold, particularly when we are wounded. You know? That's what you need. Particularly in those times. Yeah. That's who God is. That's why David loves Him. That's why we should love Him. He hasn't changed. Everything He did for David, He does for us. So that's what He does, you know. But as I started this out, I'm going to sandwich these two things. We love Him because of who He is, what He does for us. But you think about it, as I said earlier, it's not a philosophy. Our God lives. Just like in our day and age, in David's day and age, there were a lot of different religions. Yeah? A lot of different ones. You got this, you got that, you know, fill in the blanks. A lot of false gods. Yeah? What do we have? The God that never changes, but a living God. You love a person. You love someone who is alive. We have a living God. And in the Old Testament, it was kind of theoretical. Oh, the living and the true God. Yeah, He showed up in a burning bush. He talks to people, dreams, visions, all this kind of stuff, prophets and everything. But it really kind of an abstraction. After Bethlehem, it's not an abstraction anymore. God Himself put on flesh and dwelt among us to show He lives. He is truly somebody that's alive. Got to see, got to hear, got to see, and He got to act for us. But not only did He live, just like every other person that walks the face of the earth, get what? He died. But unlike everybody else, He's resurrected. He continues. That's the resurrection. To tell it, the one who walked, the one who taught, He was not a philosopher. He was not a teacher. He is the living and true God. In the same body He walked around and taught in all the places in the Middle East that He wandered, He is the same God that you will receive at the Eucharist today. He lives. He's a person. That's a consternation to sinners. It befuddles them. They don't like it. You know, you look at our day and age, you know, read the papers, read the internet. You can't criticize any faith group. All right? The only one that you can do it with impunity is guess what one? Christians. Why? Because people hate the fact that there's a living and true God. There is a God. It is objective truth. Everything else is false. He made one church. Everything else is not. Praise God that you're here. You should love Him for that. But that is a consternation to people who do not know Him. They know all other kind of things. They know philosophical things. They know answers to this, that, and the other. But they don't know a true and a living God, who is truly incomprehensible and transcendent, who we will never understand, which is a great thing. He's a Trinity and a unity. How do you get... That's why He's communicated Himself like that, because you don't get it. I started out this by saying that piety dictates that we keep in mind what God has done for us. You keep that tab because at the end of your life, just like King David, it is really a benefit and a comfort, because the point of death is really dangerous, spiritually, for anyone. Yeah, because it's a last-ditch place where Satan can get his hooks in you. You're sick, you're in pain, you are dying, literally, and he will make you question. that if you kept a tab and you know what God has done for you and you know He hasn't changed and you know He lives, you will continue in your love for Him. Because it really does two things. One, just out of common courtesy. You know, people do good things for us in our day and age, you know, in life. People do good things for us. We thank them for it. It's bad form not to say thank you, all right? At the end of your life, you should look back and have kept the tally, because at that point, you're not really thinking about what's going on right then and there as something good, but you remember all the good things He's done for you just out of gratitude, but also as a witness. It's really cool, and it's really easy to put the happy Christian face on when you're sitting in here in the air conditioner in the relatively comfortable seating. Yeah, it's easy to do that. Get the bad call from the doctor, get hurt real bad in an accident, have something really at the bottom fall out of you in your home life, lose your job, and still keep the Christian face on, it goes miles. We manifest our love for God, particularly at those times of suffering. And it just gives us pause to think, do I really love Him? You know, we talk about love, and do I really love Him? How do I know? Guess what? Jesus says how we do. The Alleluia verse today. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. A couple verses before that actually comes from John chapter 14, verse 23, for those who take notes. In verse 21, he says, and I quote, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." Two verses within three where he emphasizes that if you love Him, you keep His commandments. That harkens back to what I said about doctrine before. You know, our practice goes hand in hand with doctrine. We do what we do in here because of what we believe. The way we pray is what we believe. And if you truly love Him, you will put your best foot forward. You will be very, very reverential. You will never discount it. You will never blow it off. You love Him by showing what you do. And practice and doctrine go hand in hand. And as Jesus Christ says, you will have solid doctrine and you will keep it if you love Him. That shows that you love Him. That is a test as to whether you love Him or not. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The more you love Him, the more He will love you. It's just like it is down here. Remember, this is not a philosophy. He is a person, and He loves you. That's why you're sitting here. Just love Him back. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.